VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. I have some disturbing news I'd like to begin with today. According to a recent report on lifenews.com, the World Health Organization tells us that every minute, 139 babies in the world die of abortion. Think about that. 139 babies die every single minute, more than two a second. These remain nameless statistics, but they are more than that. These are people who could have been named David or John or Ann or Ken. Why are we not declaring an international emergency in the same way that we have on the Wuhan virus? Well, here in the United States, we're closing in on some 63 million abortions. Since a majority of justices in black robes issued an opinion in 1973 that taking the life of an innocent baby in the womb was constitutional. Our previous president, Donald Trump, according to action that he took, was the most pro-life president our nation has ever seen. However, as the last 100 days have proven, the Biden administration has gained notoriety as the most pro-abortion administration in the entire history of the United States of America. So we're going to look over what has taken place over these past 100 days, as well as the response that's coming from states across the nation. Joining us back on Crosstalk, we welcome Brad Mattis, the president of Life Issues Institute. They are the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund. Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is also host of the Life Issues Daily Radio Commentary. Brad, thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's always good to be with you.
Brad, what a swing from the most pro-life president to the most pro-abortion president.
Well, that's true. And, you know, Jim, it underscores that when we go into the polling booth, sometimes we have the choice between good and evil. And that was exactly what faced voters in the November election when they voted for president. And as you said, we went from the most pro-life president in history to the most pro-abortion. And what Biden has done in the first 100 days has made Obama look like a moderate.
My.
And that has got to be bad.
And we're going to be taking a look at this matter at two different battlefronts. We're going to look at the Washington, D.C. battlefront, and then we're going to look what's going on in the states. But I'd like to begin with D.C. here, Brad, as the commander-in-chief has launched what I call a full-scale war on the unborn. So tell us, unfold for us, what's occurred within this first 100 days of the Biden administration?
Sure. We knew it was coming, but boy, it came fast and furiously. He repealed the Global Protect Life Rule, known to many people as the Mexico City policy, and that had protected under Trump. It protected nearly $9 billion tax dollars from being used to promote or provide abortion around the world. And he reversed the same thing domestically by funding abortion through Title X, which Planned Parenthood picked up $60 million they had foregone under the Trump administration. Mm. Under the guise of COVID relief, you and many others have reported on this, a $2 trillion spending bill, only 9% of it actually went for COVID relief. And under that, Biden championed the largest expansion of taxpayer-funded abortion since Obamacare. And that was made possible because they excluded the Hyde Amendment, which had been in place for decades, that protected our tax dollars from funding or promoting abortion. Biden resumed funding of the horrific and gruesome practice of funding experimentation using the dissected body parts of unborn babies. And some of the evidence that has come out recently has been particularly appalling. Biden abandoned critical FDA protections for women who take the chemical abortion pill. And this is coming down at the same time that countries in Europe are are sending up red flags about their concern over chemical abortion and how it will impact women's health. So as Europe is rising up, Biden is jumping off the cliff and taking women's health with it. He engaged in a scheme of packing the U.S. Supreme Court. That's an ongoing scheme, of course, and he wants to extend the Supreme Court with extreme pro-abortion justices. And he's worked to eliminate the Senate filibuster. And currently, that's the only thing standing in the gap between pro-abortion politicians forcing radical legislation on America and good. So, we're seeing good versus evil, all throughout this administration in just the first 100 days.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. I'm going to break a couple of these down. I saw this report from Family Research Council, and that in tracking the Biden administration, they said that he has made at least $479.9 billion available, and this is all the programs put together would be under the guise of COVID relief, this, and that, but that can subsidize abortion and abortion businesses. That's more than 19 times the level set under President Obama. They track some 32 actions by Biden and his administration that undermines unborn babies' right to life, the family, religious freedom. And, Brad, that's at the rate of about one every 3 days coming from his office. To me, that's really an obsession. But $479.9 billion subsidizing abortion and abortion businesses.
And let's put that into perspective. When you add in the $12.1 billion that he's done through executive actions, we're looking at $480 billion. That's close to $500 billion funding abortion and the abortion industry. We've never seen anything remotely close to it.
So you mentioned the research, and I saw HHS having the announced aborted fetal body parts could be experimented on in the name of research. LifeNews.com reporting American taxpayers being forced to this unethical scientific experiments using fingers, scalps, livers, and other organs harvested from aborted babies. The White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki calls this investing in science. You know, Brad, I thought since we're so interested in science, shouldn't they know that abortion stops a beating heart?
Yes, they should. And what they're doing is they're making Auschwitz look like beginners and amateurs. What they are doing here is making money hand over fist by doing the same appalling things that we saw in Auschwitz. There was a report recently, Jim, that they took a baby with Down syndrome, killed the child, and actually sold his skin in addition to the brain, liver, eyes, lower limbs, thymus, And for charges from $325 to $650. And there's another appalling situation. A Senate investigation revealed that a 20-week unborn baby aborted at Planned Parenthood was dissected and sold. Its brain went to one customer for $325. Eyes went for $325 each.
Oh, my.
Portion of the baby's liver went for $325, its thymus for $325, another portion of the liver for $325, and a lung for the same price. So that little baby's body generated $2,275 in gruesome clandestine scheme to profit off the bodies of aborted babies.
My.
And that went to five different customers.
How can God Bless America, Brad, when we're doing things like this under the guise of choice? It's just appalling to me. And you've been with us before, and I believe you've addressed this creation of humanized mice at one time. And then, Brad, I know we're also talking about scientists just recently created this hybrid embryo of human and monkey cells?
Yes, and they're going flat out at breakneck speed, and they're not stopping at all to think of the moral and ethical values of this. If they can do it, then they're going to make a name for themselves amongst their peers, their ghoulish peers, and there needs to be somebody there standing and saying, stop, and at least you're not going to use tax dollars to fund these heinous things. And that's what we had with Trump, of course.
Yeah, indeed. And, Brad, we're so appalled as to the violence that we're seeing break out all across America. I mean, in cities and the killings that are going on and so forth. But are we not just starting this in the very earliest stages here with violence against the baby in the womb? And then we wonder, why do we have violence in society today?
Oh, yes. And, you know, years ago, Dr. Wilkie, my colleague, and I predicted that as sure as night follows day, when you put a price tag on a human being and you consider them just able to be discarded to advance a cause no matter what it is, then we're going to see a breakdown in society. And we've seen that. The disregard for human life has been absolutely appalling. And I think we can all tie that back to the origin of when the Supreme Court legalized abortion throughout pregnancy in 1973.
Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute. Brad, abortion drugs being sold through the mail, I mean, mail order abortion drugs, I mean, that's having a huge impact.
That is, and we can talk more about that when we get to legislation in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, as other countries are saying, you know, we're having problems. Women's health is being jeopardized here because of the chemical abortion pill. We have Biden taking the FDA full throttle in discarding critical protections for women who take the chemical abortion pills. They're taking them at their home, and they're turning their homes into abortion mills. They're turning the women into abortionists because they take the pills. And now we're hearing from women that they can't find peace in their home anymore because it isn't their safe place. It's the place where their baby died.
My. In our next segment, folks, we're going to be covering what's going on in the states aspect. But one other matter I want to point out here from the Biden administration is the reinstating of funds to the Human Population Fund. They're not known for being a pro-life agency.
Oh, no, they're absolutely the opposite, and they promote and provide abortion throughout the globe. You know, when Trump was in office, I always say when the opposition is yelling its loudest, we know we're our most effective. And as president of the International Rights Life Federation, I was hearing from my colleagues all around the globe about how the pro-aborts were screaming because American tax dollars have been withdrawn from their agenda to promote and provide abortion. Mm. And now, once again, those taxpayer dollar floodgates have been opened and added to, and more babies are going to die. You mentioned the number of babies who die every minute. We're going to see that increase.
My. We're going to take a quick break. And friends, don't lose all hope because there are other things that are happening and matters that are going on within the states as well. We're going to mention the issue from Nancy Pelosi after the break. Then we're going to segue to the states and learn what's happening there. Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have any feathered dinosaurs been found?
Chris, this is a popular evolutionary story, but it's quite controversial. Some do seem to have a frayed neck fringe, but these are not feathers. Many experts consider them to be just the decayed remnants of dinosaur skin. Dinosaurs were evidently reptilian, very, very different from birds. It's not just the bones and the skin, but the organs and the physiology, the birthing schemes, and everything. You can't change one into another just by saying so. Biblically, reptiles didn't change into birds. Land animals were created on day 6 of creation week and birds on day 5, backwards from the evolutionary scenario. Birds have always been birds and reptiles have always been reptiles. And they've been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America as the Biden administration has launched an attack on life. Yeah, the commander-in-chief launching an attack on life since day one in the administration. So we have focused very quickly in this first segment of the program dealing with many things that have happened. And folks, we could take hours just talking about the ramification from all of these issues. But I want to also get to the states. Brad Mattis is with us from Life Issues Institute. Just before we pick up, Brad, give us a word about Life Issues Institute and what you're doing there.
Sure. Life Issues Institute is the only pro-life organization totally dedicated to education. We provide educational resources to the pro-life movement and the public at large. And one of those is the my daily radio commentaries, which you are a partner with. And we provide a program every day, Monday through Friday, in all 50 states, and we reach about 18 million listeners every week. Mm.
And the number of resources on your website to help just be a great resource to students, to parents, to educators as well.
Yes, we have over 5,000 pages of educational resources from fertilization and cloning to euthanasia. And it's arranged in a way that if I can get through it, in my impatience with websites, then anybody can handle that. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have the answers, we know someone who does, so all you have to do is ask.
Lifeissues.org is the website. So we were examining the actions from the Biden administration, their first 100 days. I do want to mention there's been some other things going on within the House. As a matter of fact, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has had opportunity to move, advance some legislation, but she continues to block a vote, Brad, on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Tell us what's happening.
Sure. Well, first of all, that act is very basic for babies, children that survive late-term abortions. This would require that they get appropriate medical care and not be taken to some cold, soiled linen closet and left to die. Literally, that's what's happening. You wouldn't think that we'd even have to address this issue, but we do. And the Democrats have, under Pelosi, have for the last couple years, kept this from even being voted on. So what Republicans are trying to do is pull it out and put it out on the floor for a vote, regardless of what Nancy Pelosi does, but they need a majority of members of Congress to sign a petition, and they're about five short. So we need a lot of prayer and efforts on behalf of those who are working on this. There is a delightful new congresswoman. Her name is Kat Kamek. She's from the great state of Florida. She's got a marvelous personal story where her mother was encouraged to abort her, and she didn't. And this is a woman on a mission to try to get those key five votes to help us put these Democrats and Republicans on record of whether they support infanticide. And so this battle is ongoing. We're just inching closer and closer. And if we can just get that little bit further, we will be able to save some babies.
Is there a way for people to find out if their Congress member of Congress is on that list or not, or if they know whether they need to call their congressman, or is it just a good idea for people to contact their congressman to get on this list?
Yes, it's a good idea to contact their congressman or woman and say, we need your support. And then if they say you've got it, then this gives you an opportunity to tell them thank you for being pro-life, for standing up. If they're a Republican, they're on that list. Pretty much everyone is. If they are a Democrat, that's the ones we need to contact, and we need to contact them across the country. They all need to be hearing from us.
And folks, your member of Congress can be reached at 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And Brad, if you were talking to your member of Congress right now, what would you be saying to them regarding this? What put into words?
I would say support the petition to vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Ask them not to support infanticide of babies who survive late-term abortion. This has been debated for several years now, and they will know what you're talking about. So if you raise the flag and let them know that you really want them to put their name on this petition, it's just giving a vote. That's all it's doing, just letting this important issue receive a vote.
So we have talked about the Biden administration's attack on life, but we also want to address what's going on in the states. And there's both some concerning news as well as some news of optimism as well. And, Brad, just concerning news out of New Jersey, lawmakers there have been advancing legislation to legalize the killing of unborn babies up to birth and force taxpayers to pay for their deaths. That's a tragic story coming forth out of New Jersey.
Yes, it is, and it literally supports killing a baby throughout pregnancy for any reason. What's been interesting is that they have delayed that bill somewhat, so clearly those who are promoting this wanton murder of children in the womb are concerned that there's going to be ramifications from voters if they ram this through. I think they probably will succeed, but you know, New Jersey has the most abortions in the state. It is the top state for killing unborn babies, and sadly, this is only going to make it worse.
Even ahead of New York?
Yes, yes. Surprisingly, I thought New York and Illinois were probably even ahead of New Jersey, mm-hmm. but New Jersey comes out on top on this ghastly body count.
My. Well, Brad, you're aware of other good news that I'd like to focus on as well. Good news that the Guttmacher Institute is lamenting that 2021 is on track to become what they say is, quote, the most devastating anti-abortion state legislative session in decades. So tell us what's happening.
Oh, I'd be happy to. I'm so glad you brought this up. The Guttmacher Institute, which was originally founded to be the research arm of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion facilities, is in-your-face pro-abortion. And yes, it was delightful to hear this, to read this article. You know, when the other side is complaining loudly, we know that we're being successful. And they called the efforts of state legislatures across the country introducing pro-life legislation as a shock and awe campaign. So it has left them shell-shocked that so much has been done. But just since January, there have been 536 protective laws for babies and their mothers introduced, and 61 of those have been enacted across 13 states. And that is the most ever since Roe v. Wade was legalized. So the other side calls it unprecedented, and they said if this trend continues, it'll be the most damaging anti-abortion state legislative session in decades.
Wow.
And perhaps ever, they said. So I'm just delighted to read that. Everybody should be encouraged because the state level is where we are most effective. We are a grassroots pro-life organization. We communicate via good radio programs like this, through church, through neighbors, and emails, and social media. And this is a fruit of what we've been working on for decades. And, you know, the states that are passing this life-saving legislation is all coming from one political party. And I'll let you guess which one that is. But it's pretty much a case of good and evil on the state levels also.
So we'll mention some things happening in states, but Brad, it's also happening in cities. And perhaps the most recent is Lubbock, Texas. This past Saturday, voters went to the polls, and actually this was in defiance of their own city council who denied this, but they adopted this ordinance that would outlaw abortion within city limits. In other words, becoming a sanctuary city for the unborn. That vote was like 62%. To become a sanctuary city for the unborn, 37% that were opposed to it. But they're joining some 24 other cities in Texas. They are the largest city in the United States that has passed such a sanctuary law for the unborn.
And Texas has been passing these in various cities for some time. They've been counting up, as you said, I think it was 24. And Lubbock is indeed the largest city. That lopsided vote and that in-your-face way that the pro-life citizens are standing up to these elected officials should cause a chill to go up their spines because they have had enough, and they are standing up to the pro-abortion extremism that is being pushed by many of these politicians.
You know, I was rather appalled by a statement from the ACLU of Texas, because they issued a statement and said they would continue to fight to protect the rights of Lubbock residents. And I thought, what about the right to life of the unborn, that innocent, the most innocent among them, the life in the womb? They're not fighting to protect that life.
And what about all the citizens who want that life protected?
Yes.
They need to represent them also. But the ACLU has never seen a pro-abortion lawsuit that they didn't like. They are one together with Planned Parenthood, two peas of a pod, absolutely extremists when it comes to abortion. But the good news, as you said, there's some really great actions being done in some of these states.
Yeah, there are, and I see Arizona, their governor just signed a bill banning abortions for genetic reasons. You know, I long for the day where there's, for legislation, just say, we're not going to have abortion for any reason whatsoever. These are incremental steps that they're taking, but they are having an impact on the abortion industry. Oklahoma as well signed a bill banning abortions when the unborn baby's heart begins beating.
Yes, and, you know, these are the best of the best. You mentioned Doug Ducey in Arizona, and he tweeted, every life holds immeasurable value, when he signed that legislation. And Idaho's Governor Brad Little signed a heartbeat law, which ends most abortions. And in Oklahoma, Governor Kevin Stitt signed three pro-life laws, one requiring abortionists to be certified obstetrician and gynecologist. This is really going to cut into business, because those abortionists are usually the bottom feeders of the medical community.
Mm-hmm.
Another bill adds abortion to the list of unprofessional conduct by doctors. You know, these things are little, but boy, they're important. And they also passed a fetal heartbeat bill. And in a tweet, Governor Stitt said, I will continue to keep my promise and sign every piece of pro-life legislation that hits my desk. See, God is showering his grace on our states. He has raised up good, godly people to be legislators and governors. And Montana, my home state, I'm so proud of them. Governor Greg Gianforte signed three bills, one that bans abortion after 20 weeks or 5 months. Another that requires that a woman be offered an ultrasound before performing an abortion. And third, this is really important, is wonderful legislation providing lots of protections for mother and baby if she opts for the chemical abortion procedure. It is absolutely fabulous legislation, and we're seeing it passed in other states also. And he tweeted, he said, life is precious and ought to be protected. But, you know, we hear a lot about bad politicians, Jim, but these are the best of the best, the cream of the crop, and we need to thank them when they stand up for us and the baby.
Brad Mattis with us today. We're going to probe this a little bit further, and because what about the courts? Are we going to just see this ascend up into the courts, whereby these things are struck down once again? And what about that of protecting all of life? Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. James 4:14 poses this thought, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829, 800-729-9829. Brad Mattis is with us today from the Life Issues Institute. Brad, you know, we've seen pro-life bills that advance life come up through state legislatures, and they'll get to a certain level of court, and to see those struck down again. And there's a lot of time, there's a lot of resources that are put into these bills to come forth, and they get up to a court, and then they get, you know, beat back down again and declared unconstitutional, never get to advance. So address this issue of the courts, if you would, as to you talk about these, you know, bills that are advancing through the states, and we see a number of governors, even with the heartbeat bills, et cetera. What about the court aspect?
Certainly. And right now, it looks, Jim, like we've got a majority on the Supreme Court. But what we've been doing the last couple of years has been very strategic. In particular, the legislation that we were promoting to get signed and passed. And the recent court decision, appellate court in Ohio, is an example of success with that. That legislation would end abortion when done to target and kill babies diagnosed with Down syndrome. And other legislation includes other disorders also. Well, what we were going for was a split decision regarding the appellate courts. And legislation was held unconstitutional with one appellate court. And now in Ohio, this appellate court has upheld it, so we have a split decision. We have that combined with Justice Clarence Thomas saying that we need to address this issue of discrimination abortions, because that is something we haven't taken on yet. There's no precedent for that, and it needs to be addressed. So everything, the ducks seem to be in a row for that legislation getting to the court and being upheld and giving one of the first substantial blows to Roe v. Wade.
There have been various bills that have been introduced as well across the country to just outright ban abortion. We're going to abolish abortion in the state. We're not going to have it. Are any of these advancing through that process that you're aware of?
Well, they are. I don't expect that we'll have as good of an outcome with those, but I totally support that we do everything we can, because we don't know what God has in store for that legislation. So it needs to be passed. We're seeing other bills that we have promoted are those that end abortion after 5 months, and legislation to provide babies basic medical care when they survive late-term abortions. These are the kinds of legislation that we think the Supreme Court will uphold and begin to put substantial cracks in Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, but you'd support any bill that's going to do away with abortion?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The heartbeat bill, Arkansas's bill to end basically all abortion, we support all of them. The future of them, we don't know what that'll be, so we'll leave that in God's hands and pray and work and pray and work.
Are you optimistic, Brad?
Oh, yes, yes. I think that we're going to end abortion. I think the other side knows it. They know that Roe is living on borrowed time. Some abortion activists have, for the last couple of years, started to plan for underground promotion of abortion. Chemical abortion by mail is a key way in which they're going to do that. That's why legislation governing chemical abortion is so critically important, because, Jim, that hits at the very heart of the abortion industry. Hmm. Planned Parenthood only has 40% of their abortion mills still offering surgical abortion. They've switched over to chemical abortion, and it's really taking over the industry, because it sidesteps the shortage of abortionists, and not having abortion facilities that are passing health inspections to come and do those surgical abortions.
Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Taking your questions for Brad Mattis today, or brief comment, 800-733-9829. Brad, are you still with us, Brad?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Something happened there. Let me ask you, though, you mentioned this shortage of doctors just a bit ago, and We are seeing on another issue a move by the Biden administration to try and force doctors to void their conscience objections to things like transgender surgeries and hormonal treatments, things of that nature, saying your opinion does not count as a doctor. What about on the abortion side? Will we see that same kind of move be made by a Biden administration to try and force doctors that you must be engaged in whether it be the chemical abortions or surgical abortions?
Yes, absolutely so. And that's a grave concern of ours. We saw an Obama-Biden administration try to attack conscience protection laws at every turn when they were in office, and now we're going to see Biden doing the same things. A lot of people expect that Obama is behind the scenes pulling all the strings, and that they may very well be true. And we know that conscience protection continues to be in the crosshairs of this administration.
Our number to crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. One more question I have before we get to our phone lines. Brad, if you could comment as well on Planned Parenthood's apparent confession by their president, Alexis McGill. McGill Johnson, talking about the racist history of their founder, Margaret Sanger. Seemed kind of peculiar that they came out with this, but they're not backing away from Sanger's view. So could you comment on this matter?
Sure. And can you imagine the pressure that they've been receiving if the president would pen an op-ed for the New York Times saying, yes, Margaret Sanger was a heel because she was racist and supported eugenics? That is the result of a lot of effort. But yes, if they were serious about backing away from systemic racism in Planned Parenthood, then they would do something to reverse the recent trend where they have been building mega abortion mills of 10,000 square feet or larger. And we analyzed, Jim, the top 25 counties where the body count was the highest regarding abortions. And of the Planned Parenthood abortion mills in those counties, we've seen them target marketing by building these big abortion facilities. 86% of them are in or near neighborhoods of women of color. They have aggressively marketed and planned to target women of color. They may say that they do not hold the sentiments of racist Margaret Sanger, but everything that they're doing supports Margaret Sanger's legacy, and she would be so proud of them.
Wasn't there something about 30% of all abortions in the U.S. are on black babies?
Yes, I'm not sure of the exact percentage, but absolutely. Black women are three to five times more likely to have an abortion than a white woman. Hispanic women, about two times more likely. Yes, they are absolutely being targeted. We looked at census tract data, Jim, of all of Planned Parenthood's abortion mills throughout the country, and 79% of them are in or near neighborhoods of women of color. It is very condemning, absolutely rock-solid research that they cannot counter. And that's why they put out these little columns saying that, oh, she was a bad person and we're going to change and do better. Well, if they want to do better, then they need to do it in this area where they're targeting so many women.
Yeah, and folks, think of that. I mean, here they are denouncing the racist history, talking about the racist history of their founder, Margaret Sanger, but they're following right in her very footsteps. Our phone lines are packed. We're going to begin with Dominique in Maquoketa, Wisconsin. Dominique, you're on the air. Hello, Dominique. You're on the air. One more time, Dominique. Okay, Maureen in Zanesville, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have been in quite a quandary about this. The current COVID-19 vaccines, are they not ethically, can a Christian pro-life person get the vaccine? Were they developed with fetal cell lines? I've gotten conflicting information on them.
Sure.
Great. Thank you for the question, Brad.
Yeah, we've got research, and it's posted on our website, so you can take a look at that. Johnson & Johnson, who used to fund Planned Parenthood, developed their COVID vaccine using the cell line of an aborted baby. Pfizer and Moderna did not. So you do have some good options. My wife and I will get our second shot this week of Pfizer, and you can do so with a clear conscience. Now, all of them, at one time or another, tested their vaccine using the cells of aborted babies. Pfizer and Moderna did it very little, but they still did it. So they're all connected in some way, but testing the vaccine is a step further away than producing it. So, and that's an issue we faced with childhood vaccines for many decades until now, when we're seeing alternatives coming forward so that parents have choices.
Thank you, Maureen, for the call. Let's go to Pensacola, Florida. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say shame on President Biden for what he's doing. I don't understand him because that made that speech to us the other day, and he talks about how saving the children and all kinds of things for the children and you know, put them in daycare and all that stuff and giving all that money for them, and they don't care about aborting babies. I don't understand him at all. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you for the call here. And we hear that not only from the president, but we hear it so often from Nancy Pelosi. This is for the children. This is for the children. But, Brad, it's not for the children because they are doing everything they can to take the lives of these children in the womb.
Absolutely. We need to watch what they do, not what they say. And sadly, there are many politicians like Biden and Pelosi who, you know, promote evil, pure and simple. That's what they're promoting, and we have to acknowledge what it is and tell others and make sure they understand.
Sharon is calling from Portage, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I have one question, and that is that if the lives of unborn babies are so disposable and unneeded, will this next step be considering if the elderly are disposable and unneeded?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hang up and listen to the answer. Thank you.
Brad.
We saw evidence of that with Governor Cuomo with the COVID pandemic, where he disregarded the lives of 15,000-plus elderly in nursing homes and sentenced them to certain death. What he did was an abomination and inexcusable. So, yes, we see the disregard of life from one end extend all the way to the other.
And, Brad, as time goes on, that's going to become even more critical.
Absolutely, absolutely. And China is a good example. For instance, for decades they have had forced abortion and sterilizations, and now, Jim, they are desperate to increase their population. And if they want to be number one in the country for military and economic strength, they are going in the wrong direction with their population to do that.
We'll be back in 1 minute. Brad Mattis with us here today on Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. My friend Alex Newman recently interviewed Dr. Peter McCullough, and we played the audio clips on radio and TV. This medical doctor is warning that the vaccine everyone's taking is for the original virus, not the other 14 strains now running around the world. He also advised that normally when a vaccine has the deaths connected to it that COVID has, it's pulled. In fact, we are now, as a broadcast date here today, at over 3,500 deaths, and that's on the extremely underreported side. But did you know that if you have 50 deaths in a normal product of vaccines, those are pulled off the market? In 1976, the swine flu vaccine was pulled after just 25 deaths. Most of these deaths are occurring within day 1, 2, or 3. He also reports that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was pulled off the market due to blood clotting, but that the blood clots caused by the other vaccines are even higher. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. The Biden administration has launched their attack on life. A number of states are responding to that attack. Brad Mattis is here discussing that on Crosstalk today and taking your calls at 800-733-9829. Let's go to Greg in Tucson, Arizona. Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Unfortunately, I cannot subscribe to what you're talking about. If you go to American Right to Life, you'll find an organization that is, you know, abortion abolitionist totally. My friend Alan Keyes, for example. In fact, let me just say this. Jesus would never endorse a bill that allows you to kill babies after 20 weeks because it is not a pro-life bill. Anything that does not totally wipe out, you know, the so-called right to kill a baby is no moral law at all. And I would just ask, you know, you're never going to have allies in many of us Christians. And I would ask you to look at, for more information, the website at American Right to Life. Any bill, you know, whether they're fetal heartbeat bills or, incremental bills, they're not pro-life.
Thank you, Greg.
I am
going to have Brad go ahead and comment. Thank you, Greg, for raising that from Tucson. Brad.
Yes, that's a debate that's been going on in the movement for some time. And this all-or-nothing approach, I understand that. I respect where you're coming from. But we, every day, there are about 2,400 babies that die in America abortion chambers, across the country. It is urgent that we do all we can, and so we believe in passing whatever legislation we can that will be passed. And in some states, we're seeing very good legislation passed that ends most abortions, like Arkansas. Others, it's more incrementally. If you look back in history as to how the abolitionists ended slavery, it wasn't just one fell swoop. They chipped away and worked as hard as they could and kept up the battle, because if they had given up, just imagine what our country would look like. And so we take inspiration from them, we get victories where we can, and continue to fight toward our ultimate goal, which is ending all abortion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Greg. Oh, let's go to, we're going to try Dominique one more time. You're on the air, Dominique.
Hello, sorry about earlier. So I was just wanting to bring up the point about avoiding some of these legal battles. The New American has an article, Nullification, what state legislatures are doing. Mm-hmm. And they said Arizona HB 2877 succeeds where other bills do not by ordering state and local officials to disregard unconstitutional court rulings. It's called Roe v. Wade is an unconstitutional act. Mm-hmm. And if passed, it would prohibit all state or local officials from taking any action to enforce federal court rulings that mandate legalized abortion. And it would require those officials to enforce state and local prohibitions on abortion irrespective of those rulings. So in essence, HB 2877 nullifies the entire federal abortion regime and allows Arizona to ban abortion under the Constitution mm-hmm. as properly interpreted.
And how is that doing, Dominique, in the legislative process?
I don't know exactly where it's at right now, but it's a phenomenal way of doing it in the states where it doesn't get bogged down in actual court battles, because it's literally nullifying, because Article 6 gives the states that power already. So it doesn't say it gives the power to the states to do it if there's a court ruling that allows them. It's just blanketly their power to nullify anything that is not in conjunction with the true Constitution. So right to life, obviously, is a major, major component of that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you, Dominique. Brad, your comment.
Well, that's a very bold approach. I think it's great to try. Sadly, not all the courts believe and are with us on the reality of the words have meaning in written documents. They are of the philosophy that constitutions evolve and change with the time. Mm. And that's why we've got the mess we're in. If everybody had the same correct constitutionalist views, Dominic, I think that would be spot on and we'd see success. I think it's great that that's being pursued, and we'll wait and see, you know, if it's victorious, we'll see in other states also.
And isn't that what we saw in essence with Wisconsin, with the Dred Scott decision, saying we're not going to stand up to that? And Joshua Glover, the black individual at the very center of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thank you for the call. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Laval, Wisconsin. Sandy, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, I have a comment. We're aborting millions of babies a year in this country, yet the Biden regime is welcoming undocumented, unaccompanied children here with open arms. To me, it's wrongheaded. We need to emphasize saving our unborn babies here. Thank you. Mm,
thank you very much. And We do need to rescue the little ones, Brad.
We do, and some of those little children at the border have been in desperate situations that needed intervention and support. Biden has also been criticized for allowing so many thousands of undocumented aliens coming in, regardless of whether or not they're bringing the COVID vaccine with them. Hmm. And where we have an administration that is absolutely paranoid about following CDC guidelines and infringing on American rights to do it, yet we're seeing these people just brought in vast numbers. And, you know, some common sense needs to be carried out with compassion for all of those involved.
We have 45 seconds left. What would you like to leave with the listeners?
Well, I just want to everybody to know that in amongst all the negative things we're hearing a lot of good. There's a lot of good politicians, so please pray for them and legislators and governors and everybody doing God's will, and reach out to them. Let them know, and reach out to people who have been impacted by abortion to let them know that the blood of Christ covers all sins, and this includes the sin of abortion. They can receive hope and healing, and if they want to do that, they can contact us at lifeissues.org, and we'll get them the help they desperately need.
Brad, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
Brad Mattis from the Life Issues Institute. Again, as he mentioned, their website, lifeissues.org. And friends, let's stand for life. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.